you lost a survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's double edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm your host, David Bloomberg, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jessica Lewis, provided that she has not yet been buried under a pile of yellow legal pads.
Oh, my word. I think I'm going to by the time the season is done. It's a little insane at this point.
Well, I would tell you to use a computer, but we both know what happens when you try to use a computer.
Yes,
so it probably wouldn't be a good thing.
You absolutely know what happens. And it just happened. Every time I touch a computer, it just breaks and things don't work. And then you have no idea how to fix it because you are not sitting here in front of my computer. And I'm asking you for help. It's terrible. It's terrible. So, yeah, I'll stick with my legal pads and then I'll just die underneath them at some point. So, yeah.
Well, let's hope not.
It'd be a terrible way to go.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen Jessica? She's underneath the legal pads. Yes. It'd be horrific.
All right. Well, for anyone who is new to this podcast, it's not about yellow legal pads.
No.
Each week we go through rules for playing and winning Survivor, which I originally wrote after the show's first season and have been updating ever since. You can find the latest version at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. But before we do that, let's talk about how our predictions did last week.
Yes. Yes.
We both scored a solid 67%.
Wait, back up.
Because we not only talked about who would be voted out, but also how we thought the double immunity challenge in tribal councils would go.
Oh, now this is totally unfair.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the last part first because, I got that part right.
No, I did. Back up. I did say that I didn't believe that they would do girls versus guys in an immunity, like in the actual tribal council, that they would probably draw for that. But I was debating on that point.
Oh,
you can't take this away from me. I was right.
I'm taking it.
I was 100% correct. I got a twofer. Jenna,
you were 100% correct on
Jenna
two-thirds of the
and
prediction.
Michael. Oh,
yes.
So now we have to figure out the rest of how they're going to get there, too, as opposed to just who's going to go home.
Just in that case.
Oh, my word. You know what? I thought I was going to get props because I didn't use my eight ball. That came straight from me.
That was, you know, part of the plan to give you those props later, because what that means is, you know, you can just put it away and never reference it again.
I know, but it's sitting to my right just in case I feel the desire to utilize it. But I have not touched it in my predictions this week. So
okay. We'll
test the waters. But there are people out there, I must say, that miss the magic eight ball. I'm just saying they've sent some messages. So I should ask it some questions.
Nah, that's okay. especially today. We've got a long one here.
We do. And you cannot take that away from me. I can't believe you did that.
Well, you get 100% of the torch snuffing prediction.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
And I got 100% of the way that they were going to show up and get to that point.
You don't get credit for that. Nope. I'm taking that away.
All right. You know what's interesting to me is even if it had been men against women, the same people would have won. And it would have been 3-2 Navidi on both mini tribes, leading to probably the exact same result.
Yes.
Though maybe without all the paranoia.
See? So I still get 100%.
No, you don't. because if the producers had done it that way, then they would have been blasted for putting the Malolos in a minority situation again just by the gender breakdown. At least this way, you can't really say, oh, it's the producer's fault. They rigged it somehow.
Right.
I mean, it's just the luck of the draw, which has been against the Malolos the entire season.
Right. And my word, the way that they were ended up being divided up, I almost thought it was a joke. I'm like, this is almost comical that they ended up with the five on each side that ended up on each side. It was a little amazing.
And then the ones who had a let's call it smaller edit, being the purple tribe.
Yes.
When people, you know, Survivor fans refer to people who aren't on very much as being purple.
Yeah.
And, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, that relates back to Purple Kelly and her lack of screen time, which that's nothing compared to some people here. And, you know, when Jeff Probst referred to Purple Chelsea.
Yes.
I almost died. So.
Which
Twitter almost broke.
I don't. And she's won two immunities. Like, I'm struggling. What happened?
I just think that's all she's done.
Wow.
But, you know, this isn't why Chelsea will lose.
I know.
This
is, oh, you know, listen to you.
Oh, come on. Do you think she has a chance of winning?
Based on the edit, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say no, unfortunately. Yeah. But, yeah. But, no, it was really, when I saw that it was, you know, Wendell and Dominic, Michael and Kellen and Laurel all together, I was like, seriously? Yeah. Like, what just happened? That was crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I will say I was certain Chelsea was going to get voted out this time. And I thought it was a great prediction right up until she had to go and screw it up for me by winning immunity.
Right.
You know, and Wendell even said in a web confessional that the plan before the challenge was to knock off Jenna, Michael or Chelsea. So she was in the ballpark there.
See, I don't remember him mentioning her name. I do remember him mentioning Jenna and Michael.
Yeah, well, I wonder why. You know, you only heard the parts that you wanted to hear.
No, I think maybe you're just ad-libbing.
No, I am not. I don't ad-lib. Not that stuff.
All right. Well, you know what? So. We gotta make you feel good. You know, make you feel better. Yeah. Yes, she was in the running.
Yeah. So, with Chelsea not leaving at that point, I'm gonna guess she's either a zero vote finalist or the first one booted in the finale episode, and I'm gonna guess she's not a finalist because it would just be so obvious to even the most casual of viewers that it would be one of the other two in the final three who ends up winning. Though the only way I can see her being a third finalist is if, like, Dominic and Wendell are the other two, so that producers just concentrate on who will it be, Dominic or Wendell. Oh, and yeah, there's this other person there too.
Yeah, but I think Seabass is going to be sitting there. I don't know. I feel like he's, and you know what? Boy, if he's in the final three, I can't wait to hear his answers. Like, that's going to be amazing. It's going to be so good. That's one you got to get your popcorn and be ready for, because that is going to be entertainment at its finest.
Yeah. So anyway, moving away from predictions for now till the end of the podcast.
Because I hate them, even though I rocked it last week.
I know. Mm-hmm. But before we talk specifically about Jenna and Michael, I wanted to mention a few other points about, you know, this episode. First, I completely agree with Donovan not lending, quote unquote, Michael, you know, one of the idols. Because I just think that would have been way too risky for him if, for example, Michael decided to keep it. Because there's no such thing as lending in Survivor. Once you hand it over of your own volition, it's theirs until they give it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have 100% trust that Michael is going to give it back to you.
Right.
And I don't think you can have 100% trust in anyone in this game to that extent.
Good point. I think Donovan could have done something much different with that idol. I don't know if we want to talk about that now, but.
Well, I was just going to say, I think he was also right to use it there, because better to use it and be wrong than not use it and also be wrong, but be wrong and out of the game like Chris was.
Right. And that is true. But I discussed this last week that it's essentially two necklaces, and you have two people sitting there, he and Jenna, who are the Malolos against the other three. And you have two pieces of a necklace. So you could do one of two things. You could say, I have two immunity idols, one's for Jenna, one's for me. So talk amongst yourselves and who you want to vote out, because I'm going to play these for both of us tonight. Or you just go with it's a super idol still. And it doesn't matter which one of us you write down, because I'm going to play it after the votes. And whoever you vote for, I'm going to play it on. Because think about it, Chelsea and Sebastian. And who else was there? And no,
Angela.
Angela. So Angela. It's Angela.
I forgot about her during this episode too.
I mean, so what are those three are not the most strategic minds that are playing the game right now. So you do that at Tribal Council.
How dare you?
No, no. I'm
How dare you?
Oh, I know. I'm terrible. But I mean, really, it's you listen to the way Jenna even described them. You know that.
Oh, I know. She, you know, I mean, that's the way she described them, too.
Yes. So it's one of those situations where in that moment, those three people are going to not know what to do and it's going to be a scramble. And I think it would have been an awesome moment to watch to see how that would have played out. But
it would have been, except for one important point that I'm not going to mention yet because it plays later.
Okay.
So just keep in mind, I will get to that.
Okay.
And it will absolutely shoot down the idea of doing it.
Damn it.
So.
You know what? You're just all about taking stuff away from me today.
That's
like,
right. That's right.
I can't get credit for anything.
Oh, no, it's not you. This one has nothing to do with you.
Okay.
All right. So, next point I wanted to bring up was actually something that Taryn Armstrong and others brought up on Twitter during the actual airing of the show, which, okay, Laurel and Donathan are close allies. How did Donathan not mention to Laurel how Michael tried to borrow the idol? Because if he had mentioned that, Laurel could have relayed that to the others in the Orange Mini tribe, and no one would have had any fears.
Right.
But it seems like no one told Kellen. And it didn't even seem like Dominic and Wendell knew. I mean, they didn't believe Michael, but they didn't know, which tells me that, you know, Donathan never told Laurel about it.
Yeah, I have some, I don't know, there's things about Donathan that I'm just not following. Like, even Chelsea in one of her web confessionals said that she has an alliance with Donathan.
Yeah, I saw that.
What? It's one more thing we're not seeing. So I feel like there's so many weird little nuances when it comes to certain relationships that we are just completely missing out on.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of the Orange Mini Tribes voting, one thing that occurred to me regarding Kellen's vote and using the extra vote is that if Michael really did have an idol and he played it, that could easily have triggered Wendell to play his idol, which everyone knows he has.
Mm-hmm.
And if that had happened, it would have left her vulnerable, which I think could explain why she threw two votes at Laurel, even though she wasn't particularly targeting Laurel. They were just protective votes in case this happened. And I think those are, you know, a perfectly logical series of events for her to protect against. So even though her extra vote didn't actually save her or vote someone else out, I agree that she was correct to use it for much the same reason as I said about Donathan and his idol.
But I don't know why she didn't, if she really wanted Laurel to go, which I'm still questioning if she did or she didn't, because she's freaking out. I realized she was afraid people might have been targeting her. All she really needed to do was work on Michael and say, Michael, let's not target Wendell. Let's target Laurel. And if he had voted Laurel, and that, because then she's got two votes, that's three votes on Laurel. All she's doing is creating a tie. That's essentially what she ended up doing, is exactly what happened. She created a tie by having the two votes on Laurel. If she really wanted to have that vote count, if you will, and get someone voted out, she could have tried to draw Michael. And I think Michael would have done it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I don't think she wanted, well, we're jumping ahead here. I don't think she wanted Laurel out. I think she wanted Michael out.
I know, but that's the thing that's so weird about it. Like, why do you even need to use it then? I don't know, but we'll get there.
Well, that's why. That's what I'm saying. In case, if Michael really does have an idol and he plays it, you know, idols breed idols. Wendell doesn't want to be one of only three people who's vulnerable at
that
time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to play his idol. Well, now there are only two available people, Laurel and Kellen.
Right.
So, of course, if Kellen can put two votes on Laurel,
That makes sense. I see that.
You know, so
that would be, there'd be three idols that would have potentially been played in one tribe.
Two idols.
Well, what about Wendell?
Immunity necklace.
Oh,
no. Wendell
had. That's right. Wendell had. Oh, my God. That's like a wow. You just blew my mind.
Well, so that's my thought on what Kellen was thinking.
All right. That makes sense because I was trying. I was scratching
my head. A reasonable idea. I also, you know, do want to mention, speaking of the voting in that group, for anyone who hasn't listened to or read interviews yet, you know, and you mentioned that Michael voted for Wendell. Well, the reason was that he believed that he, Kellen, and Laurel were in on a plan to blindside Wendell.
Right.
And, you know, it really, it would have been a great plan if it weren't for the fact that Laurel and possibly Kellen both consider Wendell a solid ally. So, you know, instead, it seems like they all agreed on this plan, and there were at least three different plans that were actually happening.
Right.
So I just wanted to get that in there.
If they were all trying to trick Kellen and then they voted for Kellen anyway, her two votes against Laurel don't matter if everybody plays idols because they're all voting for Kellen.
Right. If all of them had.
Right.
If Dominic and Wendell had decided to vote Kellen when they were whispering back and forth, she's gone.
Right. And that's why you need Michael to say, hey, vote Laurel, because then it's 3-on-3.
Except she didn't want to reveal her extra vote.
I know.
So, and she had trust in, you know, I'm guessing she had trust in Dominic and Wendell.
Right.
So a very complicated situation. We've spent a lot of time talking about people who weren't even voted out.
I know.
I still wanted to get that out there. So, with the preliminaries out of the way, I found it interesting that the Survivor Facebook page posted the CBS post-game interview with Jenna and said on it, Jenna knows why she was voted off Survivor, and it all comes down to numbers. And, you know, I mean, well, I guess that could be true for Michael, too, although I guess, it, you know, technically it all comes down to numbers. I guess that's anybody. But is it really that simple, or is there more to it? Well, I think we know what we're going to find out, but let's dive into it and find out why Jenna and Michael lost.
I wouldn't need so many legal yellow pads if it was that straightforward.
Yeah, exactly. The numbers. There you go. Done.
Finished. I can have my Sunday back.
Yeah. Sunday Burquest?
Oh, I don't know if she really wants to talk to me anymore.
Oh.
Oh, I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So, all right. We will begin with rule one, because after a lot of jumping around last week, I think we just go the straightforward route this time. And the first rule says to scheme and plot. Now, Jenna admitted in her interview with Josh that she came in as a recruit and didn't know the game as well as the superfans, while Michael, of course, is a superfan.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at two very different starting points for our eliminated players, and they really did play quite different games.
They did, but I think at the beginning, their goals were quite similar. They both formulated very quick relationships with one other person. You know, Jenna had a very close relationship with Stephanie Johnson, and Michael had a really close relationship with Brendan. So at least they were trying to build bonds right from the beginning. So I think in that regard, trying to form those early relationships, I think they both did well with that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm thinking now as we move later into the game, You know, Michael told Josh that every day he thought about the relationships and leverage he had and what information he had that others didn't. And we didn't see that from Jenna because she mostly held back and stayed under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she said in interviews that because of the Navidi Strong mantra, she never got to take control and play like she wanted. She just had to suck up to people and try to hang on.
Right.
And, you know, I certainly understand that, but there are some other things she said that tell me she could have done more, much like the other two Malolo who remain and also Michael, who certainly worked his position more than that.
Yes.
Because Jenna indicated in interviews that, as you mentioned, she had the alliance with Stephanie. She also had an alliance with Michael. She was, you know, in an alliance with Brendan. Notice the commonalities here. She only listed Malolos as her allies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and also she said in her interview with Rob that her whole relationship with Wendell was through Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've discussed before, I think we discussed it last season, how it's never a good idea to only have relationships with people through someone else.
Yes.
You know, and I think her lack of strategic bonds outside Malolo really hurt her.
Well, and she also talked about how she and Donathan never really connected even when they were on Malolo. So even within Malolo, she was limiting herself with who she was going to form bonds within relationships with, which then we, you know, jump to this episode and all of a sudden Donathan is trying to extend an olive branch to her, if you will, and say, hey, I've got this idol. I'll play it for you. And she doesn't believe him because they don't have this relationship. But,
right.
you know, that's something that should have been formulated early on in the game. And clearly she needed Donathan in that moment. So it is an interesting way to kind of it was referenced with other players, too, that they've kind of walled themselves off from other players. And that's people from Navidi. And I think people from Malolo all did it. They just kind of said, OK, I guess this is what we're doing. I'm a Malolo. You're a Navidi. We can't talk to each other. And unfortunately, right. it didn't work out. I mean, it's working well for people like Laurel, who's, you know, managed to not put up those walls and be able to talk to and create relationships with Dominic and Wendell. And she still has Donathan. So it is very interesting to see how the limitations people were putting on themselves with who they were going to play the game with.
Well, exactly. And even Michael was always working to make something happen because, you know, back in episode 5, he said he didn't want to get rid of his allies, but he knew it was every man for himself and he was willing to vote them off if mm-hmm. need be.
Yep.
And, you know, when we were talking about the vote against James, I surmised that it wasn't a case of Angela making the decision to target James, but Michael doing so. And it appeared that that was indeed the case because Bradley, in his post-game interview, said Michael had gotten close to Kellen and become a trusted ally at that point in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So he was reaching out. He wasn't limiting himself.
Right. It now, sounds almost like it was almost too late, too, though, because if we go back to the episode when Brendan got voted out and it was episode 4. I think it was episode 4. Bradley was talking about how the Malolos just all kind of went to the beach and were like crying on the beach. And he tried to talk to them and they didn't really want to talk to him. And Michael was part of that group. And it wasn't until the next episode when Brendan was then gone that they were suddenly like, it's every man for themselves. And everyone right. started trying to scramble and make relationships with Bradley and talk to people. And maybe I know that we did see Michael trying to create a relationship with Desiree at one point. So maybe Michael was one that was reaching out more than the others. And that probably helped him because he had formulated or created some type of a bond. Maybe he was doing that more so than the other Malolos.
Yeah, well, at least some of the other Malolos, probably not Laurel and Donovan.
Right.
Yeah, but even so, I think things shifted since then, because when Michael talked to Kellen now, he brought up the idea of blindsiding Wendell, but also said he was fine with voting out Laurel if that's what Kellen wanted to do.
Right.
And apparently Kellen agreed with the Wendell plan, like we talked about. But, you know, it's interesting because if she had told him to vote Laurel, Laurel would have been voted out, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But we later find out that Kellen didn't go with the Laurel plan because Dominic and Wendell pushed back on it, which tells me Kellen wasn't targeting Laurel. As I mentioned earlier, this is why I said that.
Right.
She just wanted to provide herself with safety, as I mentioned earlier.
Well, and the other thing, too, that with the, you know, this Kellen even brought this up in regards to the relationship Michael was creating with Dominic in that whole I want to vote Michael out now kind of conversation. And she pointed out to him, she's like, why is everybody friends with Michael now? You know, and so obviously, and we did see Michael was talking to Dominic and was trying to make some, you know, determinations about how they can move forward. So I do think that Michael did a much better job of kind of putting feelers out in all directions to see who he could play the game with. And he said in his interviews, I was always playing the game. And I really,
right.
you got that right. impression the entire time you were watching him on screen.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and then on top of that, as Stephen Fishback said in his blog, we have to give Michael credit for pretending to have an idol in order to save himself and using that strategy. It was a great last ditch effort. And even Jenna made something of a final attempt as she tried to make something happen in her final hours, because she told Josh she was at least on the mini tribe with, as you described them earlier, the three least strategic Navidis, who were also the bottom Navidis. But Sebastian held Navidi strong, which continues to show the power of that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And she said in a web confessional that even though she and Sebastian were not really strategically together, she trusted him and believed that he would let her know if her name came up.
Yeah, and, which you know, blows my mind.
Yeah, well, what blows the mind is pretty much the exact opposite of that happened. Not only did he not tell her when her name came up, he brought up her name.
I know. And that's what I was like, what's happening right now? I mean, this is these are two people who are holding hands in their little hut at night when they're sleeping. But then it's like during the day, they don't talk to each other. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like
it's
that.
It's the old Shakespeare story. You know, you fall in love, but you're from different families. So you can't.
It must be. Oh, that's so good. That's good. Yeah.
If I were really good, I would have remembered the actual names of the families. It's the somethings and the Capulets. I don't know. If Stephen were here, he'd know.
I know. It is the Capulets, but I don't remember the other one either.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, with that, I think we can move on to the second rule, which discusses how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much and, of course, backstabbing too soon. Now, the first question that would normally come up is because these two were a couple. So, you know, it's like, okay, were they too obvious about being a duo? But besides the fact that we just talked about how they didn't strategize together, just look at what the other players have said. Chris didn't notice that the two of them were together in the game. Mm-hmm. Desiree said in her interviews that she wasn't looking at Jenna and Sebastian as a pair, etc. And even Jenna herself said what you said. She wasn't, quote, strategically aligned with Sebastian.
Right.
It was just
the weirdest thing.
And, yeah. And, you know, obviously none of that stopped Sebastian from voting her out. So clearly he didn't think of them as being 100% solid in terms of the game.
That is true. Yeah. And he was so kind of matter of fact about it. And it was interesting to see Sebastian do that because he tells Jenna, oh, we're voting for Donathan. It's good. And then tells his tribe, no, we're going to vote for Jenna. And it was just kind of very, very matter of fact. It wasn't even like it affected him at all that he was concerned that he was doing this. So clearly he was able to separate it entirely.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll get to that at least, you know, for her. But I think it goes beyond that because she said in interviews that he told her, oh, you're safe. You're going to get to see your dad, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah, that's mean.
Oh, I mean.
And he did tell her she was chunky. Listen, I don't know. You know what? He must be a wonderful, wonderful person because, I mean, I did meet him and he's great. But I mean, as far as a relationship, you know, worthy of starting a relationship with and getting matching tattoos, for God's sakes, because he votes you out of Survivor. And he's basically the one that caused your name to be brought up as the person that we're going to vote out. And he calls you chunky right before you leave. And you're still like, that's OK. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm not sure he told her he was the one who spurred that on at the time, because yeah. I believe she said something on Twitter to the effect that if we were living together already, you'd be sleeping on the couch. So,
I think that was kind of maybe she got him back with the commercial she made with Michael. Oh, so maybe that
there was a little there was a little iffiness about that, too. I think she said in the interviews.
I know. So that's what I mean. Like it you know,
should all even, balance out.
Exactly. You know, you did that to me. Then I did this and now we're even. So. Yeah.
You voted me out with Michael, so therefore I had to make a really sexy commercial with him.
Right, exactly. It was great. So, it was a good commercial.
Yeah. So as for Michael, one question that has come up a lot, and which I already mentioned in the first rule, is why Kellen didn't vote with Michael to blindside Wendell. Now, first, I do think Kellen is tighter than perhaps we have seen with Wendell and Dominic, because Michael called them a tight three in a web confessional this week.
Mm-hmm.
But more important for this rule, even Michael told Rob that she may not have trusted him to vote against Wendell because she may have believed he was actually targeting her.
Right.
And, you know, that was one problem with the way Michael had to scramble to stay in the game. He might have been tight with Kellen earlier, but that meant that she saw that he would turn on people when necessary. And he had been one of those testifying against her erstwhile ally Desiree in just the prior vote. So with his reputation for doing whatever was necessary, it's no wonder Kellen worried that he might be lying to her this time.
Well, her gut was telling her that, remember?
Well, her gut was right. It was just right about the wrong thing. He was lying about the idol, not about who he wanted to work with.
Right. Yeah. Wow. There's just so much there.
Yeah, you there's just gotta point your so gut much. In the right direction.
Yeah. Let me tell you. Yeah. Anyway, I'll digress with the whole gut talk. We won't get into that.
So I don't know if you had anything else on the second rule for Michael.
No, I think we talked about, there's really no like scheming and plotting too much because,
right.
You know, I mean, they're just really, I don't think there could have been because of the situations that they were in. I mean, it's he appeared to,
which is why Kellan didn't trust him. Yeah.
Well, and that's true too. And also, and this might be better off in a different rule, but once he ended up playing the idol, early on when he, you know, from China, the China idol, that's where he really kind of shone a light on himself, and the way that he went about it, maybe that was a little bit too much with his presentation of it all, because Bradley did say that showed us he was a player and that he was a huge threat. So yeah. That could have been, maybe he should have done that a little bit differently, and then he wouldn't have put such a target on himself early on.
Yeah, I think you're right that does belong in another rule.
Oh, boy. Wait, this is going to be a fun one today. Jeez, maybe my connection will just cut out again suddenly.
Oh, ouch. Okay.
No, that's all right. We'll get to it in another rule.
We'll get to it. So anyway, we will move on to the third rule, which tells players they need to be flexible. And you know, considering I just talked about how Michael tried to do whatever he could to stay in the game, I'd say that fits the bill. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree that he seemed much more willing to be flexible about who he was going to play the game with. Jenna, I don't think she followed that path just as Michael did. I think Michael was better at it. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mentioned earlier that all the allies Jenna listed were Malolos,
mm-hmm.
and that she only quote unquote worked with, and I use really big quotation marks for that, any of the Navidi through Laurel.
Right.
You know, then she was creating a relationship with Sebastian that's, you know, going to turn into her moving to Florida to be with him in a couple weeks. But in the meantime, as we discussed, she admitted they weren't aligned strategically. She needed to create some sort of working relationships with other players, but she never did. She just
right.
seemed to keep hoping that the Malolos could somehow turn it around. And she even said in a web confessional that the tides were turning and she'd feel what it's like to be on top. Yeah, not so much.
Yeah, no. And that's the part that I don't understand with this Sebastian relationship, because clearly there's something there. They both like each other. I know that showmances can go real bad, obviously. But if you're able to hide the fact that you really like each other, aside from just wanting to play the game together, I don't know why she didn't try to turn that into more of a strategic relationship. I mean, she did say in a lot of confessionals or in her exit interviews that he didn't strategize. But clearly he's doing some strategizing because he's talking to the Navidi about who they're going to vote out. So I just don't know why she didn't try to do that with him. Like, why not try to work with him when it's so Navidi strong? And you see what's happening with the Malolos. It's like you have an opportunity. There's right. like, here's your open invitation. This guy clearly likes you. Hey, can we try to turn this into part of our game as well?
Yeah, unless she did. And I would think that she would have said something about that in interviews. Like, I really tried. And
right.
he was just so hypnotized, Navidi strong, that it didn't work. She did mention that, you know, he was adamantly Navidi strong. But she didn't say, like, I tried to wear him down on it.
Well,
it,
and
it
even
just
if
seems
you
like
wanna,
she simply admitted we weren't there strategically.
Yeah, but if he is Navidi strong, then maybe she should be like, okay, well, how can I help you be Navidi strong? Like, what can I do to like jump right. on this boat, you know? And maybe we can be Navidi strong together because I'm not going to go with the Malolos anymore. I just don't know why they didn't try to do anything together when it came to strategizing. It just seems so strange because I don't know. You're like against each other and then you're holding hands at night. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand.
Well, it's an extension of what happened in your season where people could pal around all day, but then go at each other.
Yeah, I guess it's weird.
Yeah. So Moving on from there to the fourth rule, which is appropriate because it tells players not to let their emotions control them.
Right. Very true.
You know, I would say both Jenna and Michael succeeded in this regard, though I think Michael did an overall better job because he talked in interviews about how with the superfans, like we were just talking about, they know how to separate game from personal lives. He said he did it, Kellen did it, etc.
Yeah.
And they could get along, they could enjoy each other's company, and then cut each other's throats if necessary.
Yeah, and he got hugs from everybody after he was voted out. So I think that shows that too.
And Jenna didn't get a hug.
She didn't. She looked a little angry. You know what I was thinking about Jenna too, which I don't know if, and you're going to yell at me again, and you're going to say, this is a different rule. I can already hear it coming. But I do think that Jenna ended up negatively affecting her game because she was so worried about her resting bitch face and the way that she presents herself and her personality that she held back. And I think that that could have negatively affected her game. So,
yeah, that's the next rule.
Damn it. You know, I'm trying to be creative. You're just shutting me down today.
We're going straight through the rules. We're not jumping this time. So.
The magic eight ball is about to come out.
So, to finish up, Michael, I just hope that all future Survivor players listen to him in this regard about how you can separate the two.
Mm.
But, you know, it does bring us to Jenna and that situation where, okay, she was clearly able to separate them. But again, I don't know how much of it was him and how much was her.
Right.
And, you know, yes, if this were why Sebastian lost, we could and eventually probably will say, hey, he did a great job in separating his emotions, you know, from whatever game it is that he has. But, you know, I don't know, because she was angry when she found out, angry mm-hmm. enough to say, you know, tweet, you would be sleeping on the couch, like I mentioned earlier. Now, I will cut her some slack because they're out of the game now. And, you know, we can't hold that against her too much. But she certainly trusted him more because of their relationship.
Yes.
Now, I don't think it would have mattered in the end. Whether she trusted him or not, she was leaving.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I just feel like it's, well, I guess we just have to wait and hear what Sebastian says about all of it.
That's right. So now we move to the fifth rule, which is about pretending to be nice and playing the social game. And I will say my first instinct was to say that Jenna did better here than she did in the more strategic sections of the rules. And, you know, if I had said that, it would have cited her flirting with Sebastian. But as I thought about it some more and I kind of organized all my notes, I realized she definitely had problems. Among them, the fact that, okay, well, she was pretending. Well, she wasn't pretending. She was flirting with Sebastian. And it didn't actually help her because he still voted her out.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, pretend to be nice. The idea is you use this to advance yourself.
Right.
Not you use it and, you know, you still go home. You know, now back in the fifth episode, Jenna said she was trying to get better at making relationships, but, and this is where what you said a couple minutes ago comes in. She said in interviews that she was constantly biting her tongue and not allowing her to be herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she tried making relationships with people that she wanted to punch in the face. And, you know, that's her own words.
Yep.
But watching it back, she didn't even recognize herself because of her lack of humor. And I think it not only turned her a definite shade of purple on TV because she didn't show her personality, but it also impacted her game.
Yes. But she also did say that as part of her playing nice and sucking up to people, she was doing everything that she didn't want to do. But I don't even know if she was doing it enough. Maybe she reined in parts of herself and her personality so it wouldn't be a problem, you know, with her resting bitch face that we mentioned previously. But, you know, so she reined that part of her in. But she says she was sucking up to people and doing everything she didn't want to do. But I don't know if she was actually doing that, because the guy who she was holding hands with still voted her out, like you said. So it's like she couldn't quite get there. It was she formulated a relationship with somebody, and if it was someone she liked, then OK. But if it was someone like Donathan, well, I'm not really going to talk to him that much, you know, so it's strange. Right. It's like her idea of sucking up was, I'm just not going to be a bitch to you. I mean, I don't know if that's what it was. I'm not sure. But well, so
I will say that Sebastian never said to her, and you have resting bitch face. So she seems to have succeeded because he said everything else to her.
That's true. Her hair smells like a dead weasel.
Right, exactly. Once you go past that, you might as well say, oh, and you have resting bitch face. So she seems to have suppressed that.
Yes.
In her favor. But now, Michael, on the other hand, said in interviews that he got along great with everyone out there and they had a respectful battle against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw that in the game as well, because he was able to bridge the Malolo-Navidi gap at times and make some personal relationships with people like Kellen and Desiree. And it worked to his advantage earlier, such as when he helped them vote out James. But I'd say it became overshadowed by other aspects of his game later on.
Yes.
I think at least it still gave him opportunities, such as wanting to work with Desiree when she presented her plan to turn on Kellen, or such as his attempt to work with and fool Kellen in this episode.
Mm-hmm. No, and he did say in one of his interviews about how this is, you know, it's a balance of playing a game that's worthy enough to win, but also not being too abrasive or in people's faces, and about the moves you're making so you don't create a target. And he thought he played an exceptional social game and really made bonds. And I think that is exactly what he was doing. If he's sitting in the final three, everybody on that jury is going to have respect for him and is going to be impressed with the game that he played. So I think he made the relationships matter in the way they needed to matter for him.
Yeah. And I'd say everyone except Donathan, because you mentioned before that, not, you know, Jenna was on the wrong side of him. I think Michael was too, because somehow they had both gotten on his bad side. You know, he apparently said they were acting like cool kids and would call them out on things in tribal council, I think, even. So,
yeah, we didn't see any of that.
Right. And with so few Malolos left, this obviously made it more difficult to work together on formulating any sort of overthrow plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that's I really do wonder sometimes if people's outside perceptions of themselves and how the world has kind of treated them, if they bring that into their game of Survivor. And maybe maybe that's what Donathan was struggling with, because there was a lot of that, like at the beginning with the Malolos, like the good looking people versus everybody else. I think Laurel was talking about how the good looking people were all like hanging out together at the beach and.
Right.
And, you know, and that was Michael and Libby and Brendan. And I think Jenna was involved in that as well. So I don't know if that's part of where that stems from, is that really early on kind of impressions of everybody and then negatively affects the game moving forward, because you have these outside influences affecting what's going on inside your head.
Right. No, I agree.
There, I said something right.
Now, you said lots of things right. As a matter of fact, we are getting to Rule 6, which is the one you were referencing earlier, because it warns players against being too much of a threat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, earlier you mentioned Michael becoming a threat, and a moment ago I did too, because, you know, other parts, I said, of Michael's game overshadowed the relationships he was making. This is exactly what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, you know, it seems pretty clear that in this rule, we're looking at opposite ends of the spectrum. The two people who were voted out this week.
Yeah, that's true. Very much so.
Yeah. So, you know, Michael said in interviews that he knew he was always on the bottom because of his reputation earlier in the game. He tried to work with people, but never made it more than a few votes before the target came back to him again. He found two immunity idols. He tried to strategically use the first one. Then he used the second one successfully to save himself. And really, just looking at him made him stand out as a physical threat.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, we already discussed this, and you mentioned it too, how he had good relationships with so many people.
Yep.
How you can't let someone like that get to the end.
Oh, so, my God, no. No, because he's winning every day, all day long.
Right. He was not only outside the dominant alliance, but he was a major threat to win the game, as Stephen noted in his blog. He was the prime target on the Orange Mini Tribe.
Yes. And if you look at the structure or the current setup of the jury, it's full of Malolos and I think two pissed off Navidi members. So, you know, I think that he'd be in a great position sitting in a final three
right.
with that jury makeup. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You know, now, some people have questioned why Kellan didn't try to scoop up Michael as an ally to counter Wendell and Dominic instead of trying to vote him out. And I think it goes back to what we saw the previous week and what you mentioned earlier about Kellan wanting him gone. When?
Now.
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 You know, she was worried that he wouldn't actually join with her, but maybe would create a guy's alliance with Dominic and Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier we discussed how she didn't trust him. There's no way she was going to be able to work with him because he was too big a threat for her to put herself in that position.
Yep. Her gut was telling her not to do it.
That's right. And it was right. See?
It was right. No, Michael, we've already said it. He was a huge threat. Absolutely huge threat in every way, shape, or form that this game is made, and also how he played it. And so I think that, yeah, I mean, it was clear. It was clear from every episode. I mean, Wendell said in one of his web confessionals that Michael is the number one target. You know, we've got a hit list and he's number one. So right. That's pretty severe when you know that that's where you are on that list.
Yeah. And then there's Jenna.
Yes.
And really, the only thing I can do with Jenna is point back to episode 5 when some of the original Navidi decided that Jenna was, quote, harmless. And I think that about sums it up for her in terms of this role.
Well, and she was supposedly, if I'm remembering correctly, potential first vote on Malola, wasn't she?
She was. Yeah. But they switched it because they thought that would upset Stephanie too much.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah, it's just unfortunate that I think that this is, you know, Jenna's a really, like, she's a really sweet girl, but I do think this particular season where you have so many super fans and you have someone like Jenna who admittedly said she was a recruit and doesn't know the game so well, you've already discussed that.
Right.
But I think that that has a huge impact on how you can play this game, because if you're not familiar with the inner workings of it all, then you're kind of left to go, oh, well, I just don't want to get anybody mad at me right now. Well, that's not going to get you to win the game, you know, just by not making people upset with you.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We move to the 7th rule, which talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. And once again, we find ourselves with two very different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Jenna, I want to point out that she said in interviews that she did indeed do a lot of idol hunting and actually found a fake one that Wendell had planted, which was very convincing. But Michael figured out for her that it was a fake, so it never came into play.
Yeah. And we did see that idol hunting scene with she and Stephanie Johnson.
Oh, is that when it was?
I'm assuming. Maybe they didn't show it. No, it couldn't have been then, because I feel like it would have had to have been when she was on the Green Tribe, because that would be the only time it would make sense, because that's when she would have been where Wendell was. But we did see her idol hunting, and the, you know, the shots of that were very extraordinary. So,
oh, those shots of
those
her idol
shots,
hunting.
Yes, of the idol hunting party between she and Stephanie.
Yes.
The cameramen were having a good time with that
Yes, they were. Okay. Yeah, you know, that is also, as a side note, another place where Michael being a super fan really helped, because he knew, hey, in this season, all of the idols have backstories.
Yes. Yeah, this he's the one who had to explain that to her. Yeah.
Right. So, of course, we never saw any of that because it didn't come to fruition. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know, as for the way she handled information about Donathan's idol and her last tribal council, I'd say it wasn't the greatest, because this is where I shoot down what you had said at the beginning of the podcast, where Donathan should have given her one part of the idol to wear. Because she said in her interview with Rob that she told the Navidi about Donathan's idol.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's like, so anything that Donathan would have wanted to do, she blew up.
Yeah, that's true. I missed that. I forgot about that. Damn it, Jenna. Telling you, the super idol thing would have been great.
I would have, but, you know, I have a hard time understanding how she thought that was the best idea. Maybe she thought that could make them target Donathan in the hopes of being a blindside. But I think it probably would have been better to try to work with him to figure out where the votes were going so he could use the idol and the two of them could vote off a Navidi.
Right. And maybe that's why Sebastian recommended Jenna so quickly, because maybe Sebastian's the one that was told about the Donathan idol. And he was like, well, we're voting for Jenna.
Right. No, exactly. I think that makes sense. Was. And, you know, but because she decided to throw him to the wolves, but didn't do a great job of selling it, I would say. And, you know, many people watching suspected that her behavior at tribal council may have tipped him off that something was amiss. And, you know, she even said in interviews, and then Donathan himself confirmed it to me on Twitter, you know, did a little Twitter press conference where he said he was indeed considering playing the idol on Jenna right up until tribal council, where it was so fishy that Jenna was in such a hurry to get to the vote.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus he was sure the others knew about his idol.
Mm-hmm.
So he figured out that, okay, she must have told them. And then, you know, what was going on with her? So he was right on both counts. So definitely a good read for him. Not so good for Jenna.
Yeah. And it could have been so much fun if it had been used differently.
Right. I mean, I really do think the producers picked some of these with the ideas that they could be used in fun ways like that.
Yes, because this one, my word, that's what that idol was. And you've got super fans who know that that was the whole, like, wow moment, you know, the super idol and all. Oh, my goodness. That could have been so much fun. So much fun.
So, but anyway, moving to Michael, who was obviously better at finding real idols.
Wow. Yes. Know,
and then he had to figure out what to do with them. So he began with what I would say was a good lie about James's idol, you know, providing double immunity. And then the way he blew off the reading of the details from the note that came with it in a way that seemed natural.
Right.
At that time, there was a lot of debate about whether or not he should have planted that seed before tribal council. And I thought at the time, and I still think it was probably the best move to try something beforehand, because we know how locked in people can get once they get to tribal council.
Right.
You know, I said back then that I didn't know if it would have worked any better, but I still think it was the best plan. And also, naming Bradley as the target was probably the wrong move. Because
that was a horrible move. That was horrible.
You know, because nobody else had incentive to flip if only Bradley was at risk.
Right. They're like, all right, well, I'm good because I'm not getting voted out. It'll be Bradley. So, yeah, that's such a bad idea. Such a bad idea. Let them try to guess and figure out who you're going to vote for and play with them a little bit. You know, make them sweat. Don't give them all the information. Yeah.
Any listeners who, you know, either didn't listen to us talk about it at the time or want a reminder can go back and listen to the early part of Why Brendan Lost, because we tackled Rule 7 first that week because it was so important. Mm-hmm. And we went into those points a little bit more detailed than we are glossing through them here. But my point in all of this is that Michael tried to make the best use of the idol, but it didn't work out for him or his allies.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to get a read. He thought it would be Stephanie, but that read was off. And, you know, Michael said in his CBS interview that it was one of the things he wished he could do over again, which was to better gauge the reactions at that tribal council.
Right.
And then there was a second idol. And, you know, when we did the Why Libby Lost podcast, I mentioned that it was a mistake to not tell Libby about his idol because they could have worked together and maybe found a way to get rid of a Navidi. For his part, Michael told Josh that he didn't tell Libby about the idol because he knew Libby was working with Dominic and wasn't with him in the game anymore. He felt that there was too much risk to tell anyone about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, I don't understand that.
I don't know
how that's the case.
I do like the fact that he didn't tell people that he had it, just because that protects him. Because then if they vote for him, they're questioning, does he have an idol or not? The first time you tell somebody that you have an idol, then you have to wonder if they did tell anybody. Like, he's worried about Libby. Is she going to then tell someone?
But I don't know.
But
who cares? Okay. Worst case scenario. Libby tells the others.
Right.
Which would have been really stupid because then they all vote for Libby.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the idol anyway. It just doesn't stop any votes. And it's the same outcome. He's still there. Right. His idol's gone. Libby's gone.
Well, that's true.
So that's what I don't understand. Tell Libby, try to work together tell her and say, if you tell anyone, you're going home. So let's you and I not tell anyone. We'll try to get all the votes to me. And then you and I should vote for the same person.
Yeah, but then what if she decides to go and reveal the grand plan? Because she like pulls a Laurel, you know, where like Desi's like, hey, I got this great idea. We're going to pull you guys out of the bottom. We're going to shake things up a little bit. And then goes and runs and tells everybody that this is what's happening.
But so what? Michael still uses the idol. Whether they vote for him or not, he's safe.
Yeah, and that's true. That is true. But it was fun watching him negate so many votes. That
was fun. I'm just saying I don't understand what he thought was going to happen that was going to be worse.
Right. No, and that makes sense. That is very true.
So I don't know. You know, I still think he should have worked with her, you know, to try to get rid of a Navidi. But,
yeah,
you know, it didn't happen. So,
yeah, because who did she end up voting for?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember either. But yeah, that's a good point, because not everybody voted for. Well, obviously, there was Michael and Libby votes. I think she voted for Michael. She did. She voted for Michael because there was two Libby votes.
Right.
And the rest for Michael.
Right.
That could have worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have.
That would have been phenomenal.
Yeah. But he didn't tell her. So anyway, we can move to the most recent tribal council where Michael tried to bluff that he had the idol. And, you know, in the first rule, I mentioned how Michael talked to Josh regarding how he thought about what information he had that others didn't. And when it came to this episode, I would say that information was what he knew about Donathan's idol.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, only Laurel also knew about it on the Orange Mini Tribe. And Michael had the whole backstory, which allowed him to present a very convincing narrative to Kellen as if he had been the one who found it.
Right.
And it seems that's why Kellen bought his story. You know, it had so many details.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, as Stephen pointed out, it's hard, you know, for another player to say, no, that couldn't possibly be, because there have been so many idols played over the past few seasons.
Right.
And people who find them tend to find them again. And
yeah,
that was Michael.
You know what? Those people drive me insane. God damn those, you know, idol finding people. Because, boy, I'm telling you, it's frustrating. You look and you look and you look and you don't find them. And it's because somebody found their second one. You're like, gosh darn it. Anyway, it's frustrating. But
yeah.
Good for the people that find them. Good for the people that find them.
Yeah.
So those Ben Driebergs of the world, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say it was a good try on Michael's part. He was just fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you really are in such a bad, bad predicament.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only thing that you have left to do is pretend.
Right. So we move to Appendix A. And of course, the key to this appendix is to keep your end goal in mind when you're voting, and whenever possible to vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. And of course, we're talking about the rest of the tribe members, or in this case, the rest of the two mini tribe members.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in the game, people should be voting off the strong players who are not in their alliance when they have a choice. This was a fairly obvious situation in the Orange Mini Tribe, which had one person who was not allied with anyone else in the group and who happened to be a strong player.
Right.
So, easy decision. The Purple Mini Tribe was a little different, but still had two players in the minority, one of whom was probably known to have an idol. So, if the key is to get rid of someone outside your alliance, that left Jenna. And
right.
So, you know, I'd say in both cases, the players overall handled it correctly.
I would agree. Although Donathan is much more of a someone to be concerned with than Jenna would be.
Right. But if they knew he had the idol.
Yeah. So that's the only issue there is that he's got an idol.
Now, with that said, there's a lot of speculation about what might have been, you know, because there were so many blindside opportunities in the Orange Mini Tribal Council. Dominic and Wendell could have blindsided Kellen. Kellen could have blindsided Wendell. Laurel could have been in on the blindside fun one way or the other. I really wish I could see inside their heads to know what they were all thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Laurel did give us a peek in a web confessional when she told us she knows she can't beat Wendell and Dominic at the end.
Yeah, so what's she waiting for?
I don't know. She said she has to cut them at some point. But yeah, that leaves the question of when. you know, there aren't that many votes left. And right. She knows they both have idols. So I don't know. We'll just have to see how it all plays out and address it at that point.
I don't know.
I'm glad that she knows that she can't beat them.
Right. But it's one of those things where if you need an opportunity to blindside somebody like a Dominic, who you know has an idol, this is when he's Dominic is comfortable in his
well,
in his
Wendell. Dominic had the immunity.
Oh, Dominic had immunity. Okay. I keep forgetting who one of yes. those two had an immunity necklace around the neck. So you're limiting the opportunities for that space that they're going to be in where they feel comfortable and they don't feel like they're going to be a target. And they're looking at that group of five going, geez, this is great. I couldn't have asked for this to turn out any better. You know, there's the four of us and then there's him. And this is awesome. And I don't have any issues. And what a fantastic opportunity for a total blindside. So I don't know when she thinks she's going to be able to pull this off because they both have idols. There's still more immunity challenges they could win. So I'm looking at it, scratching my head. There's no way that both of them are going to be gone before the final three. I don't think. I just don't see that happening. I don't think it's possible.
Okay. Okay. Now let's look at this on the flip side from her point of view. You mm-hmm. eliminate Wendell in this tribal council.
Right.
That was the person who was protecting you the most. You have violated Dominic's trust.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead next vote.
And
one who wants to keep you around.
No, and I agree. I mean, it's such a tricky spot that Laurel has put herself in. It's been wonderful for her as far as the game is concerned, you know, because she's basically working both sides. And so she's got information and she's able to kind of fit where she is safe, really. I mean, because she has Dominic and Wendell, and then she has Donathan over here, and she has the Malolo. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great spot, but it's also a really crappy spot because that's what's happening. Because right. the game is moving forward, and those opportunities to blindside either of them are running thin. And the moment you do, you're toast. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, oh, God, it's such a horrible spot for her to be in. I don't know what she's going to do.
I don't know either. I mean, you know, we could end up in a situation where, you know, she ends up being a Spencer or a Tasha to
yeah.
one of the guys, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I think that a lot of what happened to Spencer and Tasha was a situation like this. When mm-hmm. do we go after Jeremy? I don't know. And then suddenly it's too late.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's anything that I can point to right now that Laurel should have done differently to this point.
Hmm.
I can't think of anything that wouldn't result in her being gone next week.
Yeah. I mean, the whole Kellen thing, if she had let the Dez thing kind of settle and not run to Dominic and said anything about wanting to vote out Kellen. I mean,
but then Kellen gets voted out and Desiree's plan was to take out Wendell and Dominic next. Now you have nobody who is supporting Laurel because we know that Michael and Jenna were not big fans of hers.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she's in a real bind.
I mean, she's in a bind, but she's also doing better than all the other Malolos, except maybe Donathan.
I know.
Who's in the same bind as she is. So, I mean, yeah, she's in a sticky situation, but it's better than the situation of all the other Malolos.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true.
So like yeah, I said. We'll just have to see how it plays out. And, you know, we'll talk about it when we do either why Laurel lost or why Laurel won, mm-hmm. you know. And so anyway, at the Purple Tribal Council, I find it interesting that if the targets had worked together instead of against each other, I think they would have survived. Because for Jenna, working together with Donathan might have been best, but Jenna thought she saw a straightforward way to save herself and she took it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jenna thought that Donathan was uselessly playing the idol on her while the votes were going on him. So she probably joined in to show the Navidi that, oh, she was going to be a team player with them because that's what they told her. And
right.
obviously it didn't exactly work out that way.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the survivor gods really wanted my predictions to come true.
That's what it was.
That's what
I'm
it
sure.
was.
All right. So we move on to Appendix B, which deals with the jury phase, how to seed the jury and what to do when you get to the end. Now, it hasn't played a role so far, and I still don't think it played a big role in the decisions this time. But I do think there are some implications. Sebastian got a friendly face on the jury, though, you know, one of his web confessionals this week suggests he thinks everybody would vote for him at the end because they all like him.
Oh, my God. I was listening to that. Did you listen to the one about the balls?
Oh, that was last week.
I know.
The balls
but
one was last week. Yeah.
I know, but they're so entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one was fun with all his marshmallow fluff discussion.
The marshmallow fluff. I did write that down because I thought that was a great, great term. Marshmallow fluff.
So thinking of, you know, some of the other players, I'm not sure what Jenna and Michael going to the jury might mean for Laurel. So starting with her. At first, I thought it might be good for her because, you know, she could get all the Malolo votes if she's the last Malolo standing and in the final three. On the other hand, their interviews indicated that neither of them were very happy with her blowing up Desiree's plan.
Exactly.
And Michael was particularly harsh on Laurel in at least one interview.
Yes. Yeah, I think that Laurel did not earn any fans in that regard with that decision. She certainly, and obviously with Desiree either. So that's going to be a tough fix for her if that does, if it comes down to a final three discussion about that.
Yeah,
that could be hard.
It can. I don't think she was worried about them being in the jury so much as getting herself to the end.
Right.
If she gets herself to the end, she can always say, well, I'm here. That's why I blew up your spot.
Right.
I wasn't trying to help your game. I was trying to help my game. And I'm the one who's here. I outplayed you.
And then they're just going to hate you for having attitude.
Yeah. Well, OK, maybe not say it that way. I don't think Laurel has ever said anything that way that I've seen on the show.
No, she really hasn't.
I have a lot more attitude, you know.
Yes.
So.
No, she's been very pleasant.
Yes. All right. So I think we're coming to the end here for both Jenna and Michael. Before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about either of them or both of them?
Well, I will start with Jenna. I will say that pregame, she was asked how Survivor should be played. And she said, hard. If you don't have enemies on the jury, I don't think you played the game right. You're going to have to lie and deceive people to get to the final place. You have to be willing to come in and play hard. Everybody says play like it's your second time, not your first. I'm not going to have this fear of hurting someone's feelings. You just have to play to win. I guess sometimes the best laid plans fall flat because unfortunately for Jenna, she did admit that she was cast to play a villain and we really didn't see any of that. It kind of came close to it in this last episode with her turning on Donathan, but that was even kind of weak. I mean, I do have to give her props for not going all showmancy and giving us a new version of a Fig Tales. So props on that. But it still cost her because the guy that she's holding hands with at night is still the guy that decided to vote her out. So it didn't even help her. Maybe it did now. I guess they can enjoy their tattoos and living in. They're going to move to Hawaii. That's incredible. So I hope it all works out for him because she did say.
So if you know, we had Fig Tales before, what would these two be?
You know, I actually tried to think of. I was actually trying to come up with something fun and I couldn't really, you know. Sabena? I'm not really sure if there's anything that we could, that is as good as Fig Tales. That's a good one, but you know, Sabena's not as much fun. But they sound like they're having a good time together. They've got good plans. So, you know, she did admit that we didn't see much of her because she didn't do much. So it made sense that we didn't see much of her on the screen. But you know, she still enjoyed playing the game. She said it was an experience of a lifetime. I think that, you know, we've discussed a lot of things she could have done differently. But I think overall, her coming in as a recruit in this particular season with so many incredibly well-studied players put her in a bad position right from the start, just with the understanding of the nuances of the game. And I think that's a big reason why she ended up becoming the player that she became. And unfortunately, someone we didn't see much. So those are my thoughts on Jenna.
Okay.
Do you want me to do my thoughts on Michael?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So here are my final thoughts on Michael. Michael was one of the most unmemorable people pregame. A lot of the things that people said about him, like the cast itself, I haven't seen him a lot, came from Jacob. He keeps to himself, came from Chelsea. He's my question mark, came from Kellen. I keep forgetting he's here, actually, came from Laurel. I don't remember this guy, came from James. So there was a lot of that. But then there was also a lot of things on the other extreme where he was called Superman. He's not too smart. He was reading How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Open, which was a questionable move to make. People thought he was too hot. There was all of these perceptions of him. But I have to read from Dominic's expressions on what he thought about Michael pregame. This is Superman. This is actual Superman. Again, it's a young kid who looks like he can lift a house. I can't put a finger on whether or not he's intelligent or if he's a man of honor who doesn't really care. Although I think I recently saw a tattoo on him that said, on my honor. Maybe honor is his game. Maybe he's a Marine. I don't know. Something like that. And I think that that was a perception that so many people had of Michael before this game started. He was someone pregame that was telling everyone he was going to lie about his age. We knew he was 18. And in my eyes, I didn't know how he was going to play this game and get away with it. I wasn't necessarily impressed with what I heard about him pregame. He sounded like he must be an impressive person because of what he's doing at the age of 18. But I wasn't sure if he would be able to actually play the game of Survivor well, being 18, and play it with the gusto that he sounded like he wanted to play with it. And he shocked everybody, I think. I mean, he's walked away one of the most popular players. People loved him throughout the game, and he played a hell of a game. He really studied the game. He is a super fan. And the game that we saw Michael play was truly impressive. And I think that, you know, we've discussed all of the reasons why he was a threat to win this game. And if he had been sitting in the final three, I think he would have run away with it. And he would have been the youngest Survivor winner ever. So, you know, props to Michael for surprising us all, because I think he surprised everybody who was sitting at Ponderosa with him before the game started, with the way that he carried himself and that he acted like someone who Brendan thought was 28 years old and not 18 years old. So he's truly an impressive individual and played an impressive game. So I think, unfortunately for Michael, the numbers were not on his side at all. And that's really unfortunate. And also, he did say something as simple as drawing a rock out of a bag can make all the difference in the world. And Michael, I feel ya, because if you know my story, yes, I'm talking about the rock again.
He found his way to your heart there.
He did. You found my heart, because I understand that damn bag and those rocks. So unfortunately for Michael, he was definitely a huge threat to win this game. And he did a lot of things right. There was a few things wrong, but I think the numbers was one of the biggest things against him, and that damn bag with the rocks. So those are my thoughts on Michael.
Now, what did you say early on? Someone said he was too hot.
Yes. One of the, I don't know which one said it, but one of the cast members said he was too hot.
Yeah. People say that about me all the time. So, you know, I feel you, Michael.
You know, it's hard. I can't imagine what you go through every day.
I know. On Twitter, people are constantly, you know, responding to me, talking about how nice I look, you know, how good my outfit looks, things like that. So
all the time. Things like that.
Yes. And things like that. There we go. All right. So as I wrap things up here, as we went through the rules many times, I talked about how Jenna and Michael played two very different games, even though they often played side by side and they were early allies. Michael was significantly more strategic, as we might expect from a super fan, while Jenna wasn't. As such, he was always working to make something happen, and sometimes he succeeded. The problem came when he tried to convince Kellen to make one more thing happen, but she only believed the idol part of the story, not the part that would have actually enabled him to turn the game around. Jenna, on the other hand, tried to hang on in her minority alliance situation, but other Malolos were in similar positions, and they worked to better their situations. While she didn't have any strategic relationships with Navides, and even her personal relationship didn't end up helping her, Michael did his best to be flexible, and it worked several times. Jenna may have hated to hear about people being Navidi strong, but she played as if she was Malolo strong rather than jumping elsewhere. Michael also did better in terms of playing the social game, which came as something as of surprise to me until I sat down and went over everything. Jenna admitted that she held back while Michael seemed to put it all out there. Of course, Michael putting all out there was part of what made him a threat, while Jenna was not. That didn't stop them from voting her out, of course, but it was at least a point in her favor that would have been potentially allowing her to stick around a bit longer if it hadn't been for that double tribal council twist. In Appendix A, I talked about how Jenna was the obvious boot in the Purple Mini Tribe because she was outside the alliance and didn't have an idol. Does that mean we're back to what CBS claimed in promoting her interview, that it was all about the numbers? No. And the same is true when discussing Michael. It's not simply that he was on the wrong side of the numbers. Both of them played in a certain way, though very different ways, to end up in those situations. In the end, Michael played a strong game that put himself in the crosshairs, and he could only save himself so many times. Jenna hung back and waited for an opportunity that never came. Because on Survivor, you often have to make your own opportunities. They aren't just going to drop in your lap. When her boyfriend showed up with what appeared to be exactly that type of gift, it turned out he was lying to her. Michael was a bit too apparent in his scheming, while Jenna didn't do enough. Michael couldn't get Navides on his side because they didn't trust him, while Jenna had never created good relationships with them. In some ways, they are the opposites of one another, with both being a bit too far out on the extreme edges. And that is why Jenna and Michael lost.
Excellent. But they do make one hell of a commercial together.
Yes, they do. They do.
Mm-hmm.
So now for your favorite time. And you did so well this week.
I know.
And I'm going to let you go first again. That'll teach you.
And I'm not going to ask my magic eight ball. See, this is truly my least favorite component of all of this, even though I did so well. I got a twofer.
Right.
And you know what? You're not going to get a twofer because it's over. There's no more twofers.
Oh, no. The finale, I could get a sixfer.
Oh, damn it. You know, you got to keep telling me all this stuff that I'm wrong about. All right. So I was looking at who's left. Okay. Now, Laurel is going to be angry with Kellen. I think Kellen is going to be angry with Laurel. You've got Dom and Wendell who have promised to stay together till the end, and then they'll kill each other at the end. You know, Dom has an idol and a fake idol. Wendell has an idol. So
Dom has two fake idols.
Yes, but he has an actual
yeah, he has an actual idol.
Like a fake idol and then a faker idol. I don't even know how it goes. But yeah, so, you know, and then and Chelsea has the secret alliance with Donathan that I didn't know about until like right now. So I was like looking at this, like, what are the weird combinations and who's going to actually stick together? And I feel like there's like, I don't know. I feel like Kellen is kind of a floater at this point where she's been getting angry with people. She's been a little opinionated about things. She's been kind of all over the place. I think Dominic said she was erratic, and she was kind of losing her mind. And I just feel like Kellen is kind of placing a target on herself. I think Kellen's going to go home. That's my thought. Just based on the relationships. Yeah. I mean, it's because Dominic and Wendell are not turning on each other. I think Laurel is going to stick in with those guys because obviously Kellen's not going to work with Laurel. Donathan is her little lackey at this point. I mean, I love Donathan, but, you know, he's going to go where Laurel tells him to go. So that's four of them right there. So then you've got Chelsea, Angela and Sebastian left with Kellen. Chelsea and Kellen, they do have a relationship, but Chelsea's got this secret alliance with Donathan that we don't know about. And Angela and Sebastian aren't going to really like try to drum up any like, hey, let's make a big move right now kind of thing, because Sebastian thinks he's winning in the end anyway. So that kind of leaves Kellen.
Yeah.
That was a whole lot of stuff, but
yeah,
you know.
No, that's okay. The part about the Chelsea Donathan alliance, I feel like if at any point it was actually going to matter, we'd have heard something about it. But I kind of feel like that about Chelsea's whole game. So anyway, yeah, I don't know how that fits in. But before I really get into my prediction, I want to say something about the person you predicted. So, Kellen. And I can't remember if I've said it here before, though I know I said it on Twitter. And even if I have said it here, it bears repeating because I've seen a lot of people complaining about her continued insistence on and repeating the phrase Navidi Strong.
Mm-hmm.
As a viewer, people might be sick of seeing it, but it absolutely 100% makes sense as a strategy for her.
Right.
When I mentioned this on Twitter, Joe Mena chimed in to agree that it makes sense as a player, but isn't fun as a viewer. And I guess that's true of viewers who want all action all the time and Ben bombs and, you know, big twists and everything. But personally, I'm perfectly happy to watch a strategic game like this play out. And we as viewers need to remember that players should be there to win, not to hurt their own games for our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Jenna's interviews, she said that all she ever heard was, quote, Navidi Strong, and it was the worst thing ever. Some viewers, like I just said, may agree, but if it's the worst thing ever for a losing player to hear, it could be the best thing ever for other players. And considering that's the mantra that got Sebastian to target his own girlfriend, I think it's still going to stick around in some form.
Mm.
So Kellen has gone far with it and wants to keep it going because, well, it helps her. As Rob has said, though, these past two episodes haven't been great for her, but she's still there and seems to have at least some allies. So, question is, will the tide turn against her this week, like you've predicted? You know, after all, we saw a hint of that in the brief preview at the end of the episode, though most of it and all of the newer preview focused on the family visits. And, you know, by the way, can I tell you how not thrilled I am that we get to go through at least 8 web confessionals from people next week talking about how great it was to have their family visits or how they were upset that they didn't get to spend more time with their loved one? You know, oh, that's going to be
so
much fun.
I'll skip those.
Yeah, well, but you never know. There could be some little nugget of strategy in there. But anyway, sorry, went off on a tangent there. Getting back to my point, I actually think Kellen is fine this week.
Mm.
Because I mentioned that Michael called Kellen, Dominic, and Wendell a tight three. And I think if the guys had wanted Kellen gone, they would have done it this past episode when they had the perfect opportunity. They were whispering to each other. All they had to do was agree, vote Kellen, and she was gone. I also think that Dominic and Wendell will continue to protect Laurel and Donathan, as they did for Laurel in the past mini tribal council. Though I, you know, do think there might be a question of whether Dominic, Wendell, and Kellen will look at Laurel and Donathan as potential threats at the end because of how many Malolos there are on the jury, since they may not know how pissed Michael and Jenna were about Laurel blowing up the Desiree plan. If it's decided to target one of them, that means at some point either Laurel or Donathan may become the solo Malolo.
Ooh.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah. At the beginning of the podcast, I mentioned that Wendell had listed Chelsea as one of the 3 targets last time. You know, that part you accused me of making up?
I think you made it up.
Yeah. Now, 2 of those targets were sent packing. Does that mean Chelsea is next? It's possible, but I'm going to say no, not yet. Though I'm admittedly saying that for editing reasons, as I discussed earlier, where I expect her to end up. So that leaves Sebastian or Angela. Neither of them is particularly strategic, as we discussed a couple times. Both of them are very Navidi strong. But Wendell and Dominic might be worried about whether they would support Kellen in an upcoming eventual Navidi civil war, meaning that we might be about to see the first skirmish in that upcoming battle. I also feel like someone could look at Sebastian and decide that he is too nice a guy to risk taking to the end. Because, like you said, he believes that, you know, he's going to win if he goes there.
Mm-hmm.
So my prediction is that Seabass gets the hook.
Really? Oh, yeah, I didn't see that coming. I think he's going to be sitting in that final 3. I'm getting my popcorn ready.
I think you're just hoping he's sitting in that final 3.
Oh, I'm telling you, that's going to be an interesting final tribal if he's there.
But, yeah.
Well, all right. I like it. I think it's good. Do you want me to ask the Magic 8-Ball now? I'll see if the Magic 8-Ball thinks.
No, that's okay. If you do it, you're gonna curse yourself. Because you've already made your prediction without it. So you don't want to do that.
I know. And I was 100% correct.
Yes. yeah. For the people prediction, yes. So,
oh Lord. Oh, yeah. So let's figure out how the vote's going to come down. Is that what we have to do too? Is
no,
how they're going to get
time.
There?
We know they just have one tribal council.
Just that last time we need to guess. Right, I understand.
All right. Well, it's been a long podcast, but before we wrap up, I just want to remind everyone about the RHAP patron program because, well, if you're still listening at this point, the patron program is probably for you. You can head over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support all of the RHAP podcasts and also take a look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kind of perks you can get. For example, you can join the patron Facebook groups to find a bunch of people who are big Survivor reality TV fans like you are, not to mention Rob himself and the various podcasters like, well, the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out in advance about live events, get first access to tickets, even get discounts too. And of course, Rob does special podcasts and videos just for patrons. And there are a bunch of other perks too. So again, check out everything at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And after you become a patron and get to the Facebook group, make sure to say hello to us there. Now it is time for the hashtag. And I got to tell you, I had some troubles with this one. So I don't know if you had any. I have a backup. It's not great. I'm going to tell you it's not great.
The only one I could come up with was Aqua.
I think that's taken by this commercial that I saw.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, wait. They said they're like best friends now, right?
Yeah.
Opposites attract because they played such opposite games.
Ah, well, I don't know. Sebastian might get mad at that attract part.
Yeah, you know what? They did say they're best friends, and they did make a hell of a video.
My hashtag was close to that. It was opposite games.
Okay.
So whichever you would like.
We can do opposite games. I think opposite games is good. That way we won't upset Sebastian at all.
That's right. We don't want to upset him. So, all right. So hashtag opposite games. And, of course, the hashtag for this podcast overall, YX Lost. Everyone should make sure you subscribe to, well, this podcast and all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor or on your phone or your app, whatever it is. Just make sure you subscribe to the RHAP Survivor podcasts or the reality TV wrap-ups feed or heck, both of them. You can get all the great content like the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the B&B, and much more. Also, remember that if you're buying anything on Amazon, be sure to head over to the RHAP Amazon page at www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. First, because there are a bunch of specific items related to the show there. You know, I don't think that Rob has marshmallow fluff there yet, probably because that was just a web confessional, but we'll see.
It's amazing.
And also because you can go from that page to do any other Amazon shopping and you'll help support RHAP. I just bought a new washing machine that way. So
that's incredible.
Yes. Yes. They're going to come deliver it and put it in. And yeah, Amazon for a washing machine. Who knew?
Nice.
Anyway, besides talking to the two of us in the patron Facebook group, you can follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, am at David Bloomberg. Make sure you follow both of us to see the whole conversation throughout the week.
Yes.
With that, thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who has an extra long episode to edit here. Also, thanks to Will from America for the theme song. And thank you, Jessica, for putting up with all the double-sized notes and getting corrected on which rule and all
I know.
That.
You know, the things I have to put up with you I sometimes, know. I it's, swear. No, I appreciate it so much. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I know this was longer than usual, but we put in that much more work. So
right.
You can put in that much more listening,
double,
I guess.
Double the fun, not quite double the time. So
that's okay. Right. So, but yeah, it was a great time. And I'm, you know, if it is Seabass next week, boy, we're going to have so many hashtag possibilities. It's going to be insane.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So that'll be fun. But we'll see. But it's going to be Kellen. So it won't matter.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, it'll probably be neither of us. We'll go back
to
that again.
We'll go back to neither one of us being right.
Yeah.
So. It was fun while it lasted.
All right. With that, we will see everyone in a week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down,
David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby.